Let's imagine the not too distant future. You feel more in control of your photos than you ever have before. You look forward to the regular creative dates on your calendar. You're moving forward on that project that means so much to you. You are on fire with inspiration, and you are finally scrapbooking consistently. This is not a hypothetical, it's a real life possibility. And for the first time, I've created a workshop specifically focused on the problem of consistency. It's called Sparked, and I'm excited to share it with you for free. Visit simplescrapper.com/sparked to get access to the training and make this possibility your reality.
I'm kind of in that phase where I'm like, okay, not every layout has to be about my kid or my niece. So what am I into? My walks? What do I see in my walks? What do I notice? What do I observe? So yeah, I'm in that phase where I need to change the stories I'm telling.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 259. In this episode, I'm chatting with Neela Nalam about how to keep scrapbooking fresh over the long term with new projects and different formats. Hey, Neela, welcome to Scrapbook Your Way.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to chat with you today. Can you start by sharing just a little bit about yourself?
Sure, yeah. I currently live in Goleta, California. I'm married and have two boys. They're not so little anymore. I always used to introduce myself as a mom of two little boys, but they're 19 and 13 right now. The 19-year-old is a sophomore at college, and the 13-year-old is an eighth grader. I've been living here now for about 25 years. And before that, I used to live in India. Specifically, Bangalore is the city I grew up in. And I also work full-time, and I'm a software engineer by profession.
Okay, cool. Now, did you meet your husband before you moved from India or after you moved to the U.S.?
No, actually, I was in India. His sister was a friend of mine, and she kind of introduced us. And so it was like a long-distance relationship for a little bit. Then, yeah, I got married and came here. So he came here to the U.S. to do his master's at UCSB.
Okay.
And he kind of, continued living here. And that's why I'm here.
I understand that. That's why I am in Central Illinois myself. So So I love to ask our guests what is exciting them right now. So what's going on in your crafty life and the rest of your life?
So non-crafty stuff, I just finished the 30-day yoga journey series that's taught by Adrian. It's a YouTube series. I think a lot of scrapbookers are familiar with her for some reason. Maybe Ali Edwards recommended at one time. And oh my God, it is amazing just doing those 30 days. How I feel in my body and mind. It was great going through that journey. And I really hope to continue for the rest of the year because she's done it in previous years too.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. As for a scrapbooking related thing, what I really like is this whole stamp set with metal dice, the pairing of the stamp sets and metal dice. I kind of discovered it last year when I got onto the Ellie Studio design team. And man, I loved it so much. I had not tried this whole metal die thing before. And and being able to stamp and cut it out with the metal dies, I really like that. And metal dies in general seem so much fun to use.
I totally agree. I am not a card maker, but I just ordered a whole bunch of stuff from Concord and Ninth, and it was all die and stamp sets, which I'm really excited to use.
Yes, I ordered some from Concord and Ninth also. The birds stamp set, I don't know if you saw those.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a little bird and bird stamps and bird dies. and a happy birthday theme going along with it. My God, I could not stop myself.
Yeah, it's so interesting how some craft sectors have like their core tools and others maybe use different things. But then when we start to get overlap, we're like, oh my gosh, this thing is such as a manual die cut machine. Like, it's not like scrapbookers haven't been using these, but I definitely see there is a resurgence.
Yeah. Yeah. I love those metal dies. Also, Art New has like really good stamp sets and metal dies. I don't know if you've tried any of those. Beautiful stamps and dies.
I think I have a couple. You know, I keep getting some in like crop and create kits or like gift with purchase things. So my collection seems to be growing very fast.
Yeah. It's the thing is, once you kind of, I kind of got into card making in the middle of last year. I did like a workshop by Altenew, and wow, I loved it. I'm not a card maker at all, actually. And I just loved the whole, it's like the same type of tools, but it is still so different.
Very, yes.
Yeah, I love that.
So the other question we ask all of our guests is about their memory keeping bucket lists. So is there an important story that you want to tell and for some reason haven't done yet?
It's really not stories, but more like projects I feel like I need to complete. I have not completed my son's first year album, both my son's first year albums. I really want to complete those. I want to collect all the photos in the order of the 12 months. And then I don't think I remember too many stories anymore, but at least have like scrapbooks for them, you know, of their first year.
Yes.
And I got into scrapbooking because of when my older son was born, but I never completed that album. So I would love to finish those.
I don't think you're alone in that that particular unfinished project item. Maybe we need to all like come together and have a finishing event just around our children's baby books.
That would be so good. I know.
So one of the points that I really wanted to focus on today with you is how to keep your scrapbooking fresh and interesting and motivating. So maybe you could start by giving us a little bit more context about your hobby so that we can, you know, picture ourselves in it. So how long have you been scrapbooking?
Yeah, so I have been scrapbooking since 2004. That's when my older son was born. You know, a lot of us kind of, I think, get into scrapbooking because you have a baby and then you're like, oh, I want to make their baby books. I have always been into some sort of art or another. I used to do a lot of pencil sketching and a little bit of painting. also, I used to make collages as a kid, like collect magazines, cut photos and scraps from the magazine and make collages and stuff. But
oh yeah, that was the best.
Yeah. I know. The first time I saw a scrapbook was when one of my colleagues at work got her scrapbook to work, and then it was beautiful. Scrapbook pages and pattern paper and stickers. When I saw that, I knew this was it. This is what I had to be doing for the rest of my life. So, and then she took me shopping to Michael's, and that was the beginning of my scrapbook journey.
So when do you get to spend time on your scrapbooking? I'm sure working a full-time job, you don't have as much time as you would love.
Yeah, it's usually after dinner. So in the nights is when I scrapbook. And a little bit in the weekends. That's about all the time I get. And I'm not a prolific scrapbooker at all. So I don't scrapbook every day or anything like that. So whenever I have time.
So I know you're on at least one design team. How much of the products that you're bringing in and the creating you're doing is for the teams versus things that you purchase and come up with for yourself?
Right. So as I said, since I'm not a very prolific scrapbooker, since I'm on the design team, I think 75 to 80% of my projects are pretty much geared towards the design team requirements. And then, and the rest of the 20% or so, I have a lot of products. So I need to finish, using all of, I mean, I've subscribed to Ali Edwards over the years, Studio Calico over the years. I still have Studio Calico Kids starting from 2012. So I would really love to use all of that product.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, those, like some of those items from the very beginning, it's been so long that those trends, I think, have come back around. So I think they would look very fresh and new today.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, where did you get this? This is amazing. Yeah, it's from 2012.
So I've noticed that you've worked in a variety of sizes and formats over the years, from traveler's notebook on the smaller end to 12 by 12 layouts and everything in between. How often do you like to change up your approach?
Yeah, so initially I was just stuck on 12 by 12. And then Studio Calico, I think, started like 9 by 12 albums. And then I'm like, okay, these are slightly smaller and maybe better to handle. So I moved to 9 by 12. And then, ever since, with all the smaller sizes, it's exciting to go back and forth. I still use a lot of 9 by 12. And it really depends. As of now, like right now, it really depends on the products and the photos. So, and then I switch the size up based on that.
So could you talk more about like the products you have in front of you or the photos that you have and how that would determine what sizes you're choosing?
Yeah. So I feel like if I have a set of photos, like a holiday album that I want to create, then I'll pick up like a 6x8 album and then kind of try to fill that with my travel photos to tell a story of like 5 to 10 days. A 6x8 album is better. And December Daily for sure, it is a 6x8 album. I always use that. 1 year I tried to use the 10x8 album and I'm like, oh my God, this is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I just change the sizes based on the story I want to tell. If it's just like it's an outing and then I have like 10 photos and then I'll make like a 9x12 pocket page layout, something like that.
So it's often geared towards the number of photos too.
Yeah, yeah.
And how do you store your completed pages and projects?
So I'm very lucky to have a scrapbook room. So I have a shelf full of albums right now. It's basically in my scrapbook room on the shelves. And that's pretty much 6x8 albums, 9x12 albums, 12x12 albums, all sorts of sizes.
Now, are your pages stored, like if we're talking individual layouts, in the order that you complete them or by year, by library of memories?
No, not really. So I started off like that. And initially, I have a few albums. Some of them are for my younger son. Some of them are for my older son. But as time has passed, having some sort of a restriction kind of always stops me from even creating. So for me, it's like, I don't care. I'll just make a project or a layout today. And it might not be of current photos. It might be like from the past, or it might be like photos from today, but they're all mixed up. So all my layouts are all like mixed up. So, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think when you're working in so many sizes, there often needs to be that kind of permission or comfort with yourself to do that, because it's not, you know, it's not a start to finish project.
Right, right. Because it's like, maybe I told half the story of our trip in this size, and then the other half is maybe in this other size, just because I, that day, or, you know, based on the products, I just felt like, okay, this is what I want to use. So they're all mixed up.
Why do you think variety is an important part of how you stay motivated?
I get bored very quickly. So having like the same size all the time, I think just to get the creative juices flowing, I feel like I need to have all of these different sizes and these different varieties of books that I can fill. And maybe bring out like different types of products. Maybe I want to paint on one. Maybe I want to kind of I don't know, cut, die cut on few others. And I think just having all these different sizes enable me to use all my different products and, you know, keep it interesting.
Are there any sizes or formats that you really don't reach for at all, or you've tried, like you don't want to, or you've tried and realized they didn't work for you?
I'm trying to think about that. Project life was something I always felt like, okay, I need to start doing project life. I know this is not a size or a format, but it's a type of scrapbooking.
Sure.
It's again, there are so many rules for project life. Is like, I have to keep up. I have to keep up. I just don't want to have that sort of a restriction. So I never started project life. I never felt that comfortable with that. So yeah, other than that, I think I've tried every single size possible. Traveler's notebooks, 9x12, 12x12, 10x8. And oh, I also tried Heidi Swap's storyline chapter books. Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. I love that those books, actually. I since I wanted to try something new, I bought that last year and I filled that book with just stories, whatever stories I felt like telling. So I love that book.
I'm curious because you do use Pocket Pages, even though you've never done Project Life. How do you think about kind of the composition and telling a story across a pocket page versus a layout?
So a pocket page, I feel like is the way you approach like a layout and a pocket page is quite different. The pocket page, you have the 3x4 cards, and then I kind of concentrate on embellishing each of those 3x4 cards by themselves. So it's like contained space.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas like for a layout, it's much more free flowing. And I love to use circles a lot. So I fill layouts with all sorts of shapes, circles, and I said like painting, and you're not limited by the size. I mean, of course you have a 9x12 size or 12x12 size, but you know, you're not limited to that 3x4 contained space.
Mm-hmm.
I like the simplicity of the pocket pages. Of course, you can be extremely creative in the 3x4 pocket page space also. And I like the creativity that you can kind of use for a 9x12 layout. So yeah, it's interesting to kind of think differently for both of those styles.
Well, and it uses different, like, it's a different mental process. And so I think that also is what keeps it interesting, because it's not, you're not solving the same kind of challenges with each.
Right. I feel like it can get very boring doing the same type of project mm-hmm. again and again. So at least that's for me. Changing it out always keeps it interesting.
I would love to hear more about what you're really enjoying this year. Are you doing more inside the pocket type things, particularly in the 6x8 size, or more outside the pocket?
I just finished my December daily. 25 days of December daily. It was fun to do. And for December daily, I always do pretty much outside the pocket. I want to make it more interactive, and it's always outside the pocket page. Whereas most of the 9x12 projects that I do are inside the pocket. And since I am on the design team for Ellie Studio, she has a kit that contains a lot of 3x4 cards. So I end up doing a lot of 9x12 pocket pages for that.
Do you, and maybe this is just something that I, maybe it was a, how do I say this? My sample size for this assumption or hypothesis is one, it's looking through your Instagram, but in talking with others, I do think that there's been so much conversation and encouragement and beautiful inspiration for outside the pockets. There's almost this kind of pull for a lot of people to start putting things back inside the pockets, because it is easier, more streamlined, a little bit simpler. And I'm just wondering if you felt that at all.
Totally. So I feel like it's project dependent. For whatever reason, I think everybody, the whole December Daily community, has moved towards outside the pocket mm-hmm. for that project. So for that project, for a 6x8 album, I do a lot of outside the pocket. kind of layouts. But once December Daily is done, I want to simplify the whole process because each page in December Daily, I think everybody does this. They put a lot of thought and, you know, a lot of creativity goes on in those pages. But I think it's hard to sustain that throughout the year, and to do something every day is pretty hard for me at least. So being able to do a simple pocket page is something that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the December Daily realm, I should say.
Yes. So how do you feel about layouts these days?
I still like layouts. As we have talked through this interview, is that I like the creativity and, you know, like not having that contained feeling about layouts. So I still make 9x12 layouts quite a bit. I like that it's more free-flowing.
Do you ever make two-page layouts?
No, almost never. Two-page layouts. Have I ever made two-page layouts? I have made like pocket pages, which are like kind of maybe two pages, span over two pages, but I don't think I've ever made two-page layouts.
That's okay. That's a great question.
Have you made any two-page layouts?
I have, but it took some practice because I didn't start that way. I started as a digital scrapbooker, then moved to paper in like around 2011, single pages. And so I've had to kind of teach myself, okay, how do we construct this? It was a lot of like, here's a layout and then a grid next to it, either in a pocket or just like a photo collage. But I've been playing with it.
I might have made an 8x11 size, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have made like side-by-side pages, like where the photo has spanned over the two pages.
Yes.
But it's a smaller size, not for 12x12.
Yes. I love 8.5x11 for single and double page layouts. It's a fun size.
I think I have made. Actually, I taught a class at Big Picture Classes that's called Big Impact.
Uh-huh.
It's all about like large photos. How do you scrapbook large photos? And so that was one of the things, is to divide the photo across the two pages. I have made a two-page layout. Yes.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. Memories.
Well, I think when there's so many different ways that we can do this, and there's, of course, always new things coming out, the creativity of trying something new is often inspiring and it's fun, and that will lend us towards doing a lot of different things.
Right. Always.
So is there anything you're looking forward to trying or starting this year?
So I bought this scrappy spiral notebook from Hebal Sibai,
mm-hmm.
From her Etsy shop this year. So I have only made the introduction page, and she has like four different templates throughout the album. It's a spiral notebook, so you can like kind of, fold the book over, and it's easy to work in. And I'm absolutely looking forward to work on in that book. And so she has four different templates, and I've made Photoshop templates where I can easily edit my photos using those masks, and I'm looking forward to work in that book. I have not made any pages as such, like pages with photos yet, but it should be a fun journey this year.
I'm curious if what would you advise someone who maybe didn't have a lot of hybrid skills for doing that type of project? Or do you think it is just best suited for someone who can use a Photoshop template to make the photos the exact size you need them?
I think just having those templates makes it very easy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in order to print the photos of those sizes, you have no choice but to kind of edit the photos. I don't know how else. You don't have to have the templates. You can edit each individual photo to the size you want and print it out.
Oh, certainly.
But yeah.
I think maybe like the print to size app. I'm trying to think of maybe someone who's using only their phone might work as well. You just have to know, the dimensions of each box.
Right, right. Yeah, so that's what I did. I went and measured each dimension, and then I drew boxes out and created my masks, the clipping masks. Mm-hmm. I have never used any photo editing software in my phone, actually. I have never used my phone to edit photos. I have only ever used either Lightroom or Photoshop Elements.
Okay. Do you use the Lightroom app on your phone at all then? No?
No, I have not. So ever since it became where you have to kind of subscribe,
yes.
I lost even on my computer, I lost my app, I mean, my Lightroom app, and then I have not gotten into that. But I have seen Kelly Ishmael kind of giving really good tips about using Lightroom on the phone. I should get onto it.
Because you can't edit it, with it, even if you don't have a subscription. I do have a subscription, and I do a lot of editing in it. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's cool.
I have everything that. Going straight from my phone into Lightroom, and then when I open my computer, the photos sync to my computer, and then everything goes from there. And then I organize them, and eventually make a scrapbook with those photos.
Yeah. I like Lightroom quite a bit.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about how you keep your scrapbooking fresh and interesting?
I mean, life changes over the years. Yes. I think all these years, it was a lot of baby photos. And I still kind of reach on to baby photos because I have a little niece. So I keep asking my brother to keep sending her photos. So that has always, I mean, that's what I used to scrapbook a lot. But, you know, life is changing. My kids are older and I don't think they want to be photographed the way I used to keep, taking photos of them all the time. So I would say as life progresses, try to find things that you want to tell stories about that are current in your life. I'm kind of in that phase where I'm like, okay, not every layout has to be about my kid or my niece. Mm-hmm. So like, what am I into? My walks, what do I see in my walks? What do I notice? What do I observe? So I'm in that phase where I need to change the stories I'm telling. So, but to keep it. And products-wise, you want to always reach out to the latest release products, you know? But
yes.
That's not right. especially when I have so much product from the years before. I think just switching between manufacturers sometimes helps to keep it fresh. Go get a kit from my shelf, an Ali Edwards kit, and then open the kit and tell a story from, based on what inspiration I can derive from that kit, or open one of my old Studio Calico kits and look at it. So, I definitely want to be using up all my previous product to tell my current stories.
Oh, well, I can't wait to see what you create this year. It's been fun chatting with you today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Can you share where our guests can find you online and maybe anything else you will have new or coming up this year?
So I have a YouTube channel. I don't have too many videos. I have some flip-throughs and some YouTube shorts. With my name, I mean, the account name is Neela Nalam. And same thing on Instagram, it's Neela Nalam. And I've taught a few classes over at Big Picture Classes. So if you're interested to look at any of them, you can find me on Big Picture Classes also. I'm on the design team for Ellie Studio this year. So I'm going to be continuing to create projects with Ellie Studio products and definitely December Daily in December. I don't have any new classes planned for this year as such, but maybe if I find some time, maybe create another class for Big Picture Classes this year. Might be a good thing. Good goal to have.
Yeah, sounds fun. Maybe like documenting how you've shifted your storytelling approach to incorporate more of yourself.
Yes. Yeah, that would be a good topic to kind of think through. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for spending time with me.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
And to all of our listeners, please remember that you have permission to scrapbook your way.